This is IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Don't forget to vote for us in the Sports Podcast Awards from the link in our bio. This is Coogan Curtis for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted, as always, to be joined by Mr. Sam Jones. All right, mate?
Yes, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. You look well. Your beard looks well.
You having that?
Your beard looks well.
Yeah, thought I'd give it a try.
How boring is it with no boxing?
On it, Coogan, honestly, it's made me watch a lot more football, to be fair. But even football's getting out. Whether that's a good thing or not, because I'm a Derby fan, so whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know. But it's making me watch loads more football. So, but no, it's shit, isn't it, without boxing?
Yeah, I think we kind of, not take it for granted, but I think when we have these periods where like a whole month without any shows in the UK, we kind of, yeah. But when February does roll around, I think the shows are going to be coming thick and fast and we'll forget.
There's some good shows as well. Now, to be honest, Coogan, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm gassed to watch Amir Khan against Kell Brook. Can't wait. I cannot wait for that fight. I'm going to the fight. I cannot wait to watch that fight. I've been trying to like play it down in a moment, like, oh, that maybe it could have happened if you'd, but I'm so excited to watch that fight.
No, 100%. I think that's out of a very busy February schedule. I think that is definitely the pick'em from the lot of those. Okay, let's just have a recap back in December, obviously when we last caught up and obviously spent a bit of time together out in Dubai. Prebellum show in Dubai, and then obviously you had one the week after in
Newcastle.
Or was it Sunderland, technically?
Rainton, yeah. So it's like, I don't want to mix them two up because it's like that's a real no-no. But no, it's Rainton. So in the northeast. That's a better way of, yeah. It was Sunderland, but yeah, Rainton.
Okay, so yeah,
Dubai. Good show.
A successful world title defence for Sonny Edwards.
Yeah.
And I mean, we see Sonny. We don't see him. We read Sonny every day. He's very vocal and active on social media as always.
Yeah.
There's always something going on. But in the ring, someone who's very, very difficult to beat.
Yeah, 100%. He's like, I kind of compared it, like, the two. Obviously, I'm not going to say, because Sonny, for me right now, is definitely top five in the UK. He is. He has to be, like, from the talent he has. But like Lerone Richards, like, they're quite similar in that sense. They're both absolute nightmares to fight. Sonny, I think, will stand Martinez on his head, like if that fight happens. I think Sonny's the best flyweight, and I think he could be the best super flyweight in the world in both divisions. I think he's that good. I think I watched him for the first. I've watched a lot of Sonny's fights, but that fight against Jason Mama, if you're closer, you appreciate how good he actually is. And people have said, obviously, Sonny, like, he's been clipped before, he's been dropped, but Sonny got hit with some decent shots in that fight, and he had to stand and fight. He got a bad cut on his head, and he dug deep, and he could show he could dog it out as well. He's going to be a very, very hard man to beat, Sonny Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really kind of eventful week that week with Paul Butler situation, obviously.
Crazy, yeah.
And Sonny also kind of having a little bit of back and forth during the week with Mama's team. It was like kind of all going on that week, but ultimately he's going to be judged on what he did in the ring, and he was very impressive, as he always is. But as a whole, the Prebellum show in Dubai, I was there, I thought it was a brilliant show. Were you pleased with it?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I think, listen, there's going to be a few events this year, I believe, with Prebellum in Dubai, and it's got all the ingredients, hasn't it, Dubai, Coogan, to be an amazing, like, fight capital, hasn't it, Dubai? The Coca-Cola Arena was amazing, one of the best arenas I've been to. The facilities were amazing. The layout, the way it was really good. It was really, really good. I thought the fights on there, the fights were entertaining, weren't there? There was a few 50-50s on there. It was a really good fight, and it capped off with a great performance by Sonny. So, looking forward to head back there.
Absolutely. There was kind of a star-studded lineup there as well, wasn't there? It was all kind of, as Roy Jones was there, I mean, it was just a great night and a good start for Prebellum in Dubai. And then obviously you went to Rainton, as we mentioned earlier.
Careful. Yeah, we all got Rainton. Everyone and every one of the team caught COVID. It's just everywhere, isn't it?
These things are happening and fights are getting called off more and more due to COVID. But let's not go into kind of the whole COVID thing. But how was the show in Rainton?
I really enjoyed it, Coogan. I really, really enjoyed that show. Good to see Ritson back. It was great to spend time with Ricky Burns as well. It was good to see him back. Good character, Ricky. Joe Law's rolling around in a dressing gown. The McCormacks were there, great signings for Pro Bellum. They're going to be making their debuts very, very soon. But Mark Dickinson, I'm so impressed with him. Like I'm a big fan of watching Mark Dickinson. He's going to be an unbelievable fighter. Predictions, he'll be a world champion, Mark. Thomas Patrick Ward was flawless. Ritson, good comeback fight. Look well in his fight. I thought it was a really good show from top to bottom.
As we move into 2022, obviously we mentioned that there's no boxing on, but there's no shortage of things happening in boxing. You mentioned there the McCormack twins. We await kind of when they'll make their debut. We're assuming they'll make their debut on the same card. Yes or not?
Yeah, you'd think so, but maybe not. We don't. It's not been decided yet.
Yeah, I mean, we know how talented those two are, Luke and Pat, and I think they're going to be very entertaining outside of the ring as well.
Handful, but they're just, what you see is what you get with them two. They're both nuts, but talent-wise, put your house and car, two the first twins from the UK to be world champions, definitely. Unbelievable talents, the pair of them.
When do you think they'll make their debut, Sam?
March, April.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk to you about some other stuff going on in boxing. I did an interview with Eddie Hearn the other day. He was talking about the fight between Katie Taylor and Serrano, which is he's obviously working on with Jake Paul. He said the fight...
Interesting.
Very interesting. He said the fight is... very likely to happen. MSG has been mentioned, etc. But I wanted to ask you, where does kind of Chantel Cameron fit into this mix? We know she's got her fight at some point in this four-way tournament that Hearn's put on.
Yeah.
But where does she kind of figure into that with Taylor and that?
It's a hard one because I think, Katie Taylor's like his Anthony Joshua, if you know what I mean. In the women's division, Katie Taylor, she makes good purses. She's a phenomenon. Everybody loves Katie Taylor. Now, it's hard for him because it's like Chantel Cameron's kind of the Dillian White in that relationship because it's... I personally believe, I don't know whether that's a good comparison, but like, I personally believe Chantel beats Katie Taylor. I really do. I think she beats her. And Chantel's not nowhere near as a bigger draw as somebody like Katie Taylor. So I think that Eddie's not really mentioning that fight as much because I believe he knows Chantel Cameron will beat Katie Taylor. So he's kind of not mentioning it too much. But I believe she deserves her big kind of, her big moment, her big, like a profile fight. Even like a Chantel Cameron. I know Terry Harper's moved up in weight. That's a great fight for Chantel Cameron. Or Natasha Jonas, something like that. They're the kind of fights I believe Chantel needs right now to probably get herself the Katie Taylor fight. But I can't see the Taylor fight happening because I believe everybody knows. I honestly believe Eddie and everyone else believes that Chantel will beat Katie Taylor. That's my honest opinion.
Hmm. It's an interesting situation with Chantel. Obviously, it's in the middle. It was only kind of two fights as part of this undisputed four-way that they were doing. So she's still got to complete that side of it as well.
I've not heard much about it. She meant to be fighting that Kelly Reese or something like, but I've not heard much like about that, about when the fight's going to be announced. I think as it stands, right, the two best female fighters from the UK, you've got Savannah and Chantel, first or second, either or, and then you've got everybody else in another pack. But I think those two are the standouts. I think they're the best in the UK by some distance, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with those comments.
Yeah, that's my opinion on that. And I think, listen, Savannah's going to end up fighting Clarissa Shields. I'm sure that fight's inevitable. But I want to see Chantel get like her big profile moment, if you know what I mean, like Terry Harper. But the fight that I think Katie Taylor against Chantel is a better fight than Katie Taylor against Serrano. I know that's not the biggest fight. That's clearly Serrano against Katie Taylor is the biggest fight in women's boxing. Got no problem with that. But I think a better fight would be Chantel against Katie Taylor. You'd get some of the remember when Katie Taylor fought Pursue? That kind of war. That it'd be a brilliant fight to watch. And I think Chantel deserves the fight, to be honest. I don't think she gets the credit she deserves sometimes, because she's done it the hard way, Chantel.
Yeah, I'll agree with the fact that she's definitely done it the hard way. Moving on from there, purse bids have been postponed again for Tyson Fury and Dillian White.
Yeah.
We found out today. Are we to assume that they're trying to make a deal?
Listen, you'd hope so. You'd hope so. People take Tyson too seriously sometimes. You know when Tyson talks and stuff like, I don't like, whenever Tyson does an interview, I literally think the opposite to what he's just said. Like, you know what he's like, Coogan. Like, so when he says all about... mentioned Dillian White. I think Tyson does want to fight Dillian White. And I think that fight will happen. And the build-up will be better than a build-up would be than if, say, Tyson fought Anthony Joshua. The build-up with him and Dillian will be absolutely brilliant to watch. You can only imagine how good that build-up's going to be. Hopefully a good fight at the end of it. So I'm confident that fight happens. I don't care what channel it's on, as long as the fight happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's been delayed twice now. It was obviously meant to have taken place last week. It was then meant to have taken place tomorrow. Now it's been extended till Friday. So we can only hope that that is the reason for that, is a deal is trying to be reached before it gets to a purse bid. So, it's a fight that you know that Top Rank are going to obviously bid very hard on, and so will Eddie Hearn and DAZN.
So it'll be a big... It would be, you'd imagine DAZN would have to do that fight pay-per-view though. That's the only way.
Yes,
it's the only way of like making that fight viable on the app. It's the only way of it happening. So I don't know. Like, all I want to see, it's like somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about Anthony Joshua. If he fights Usyk and loses, he's done. I don't believe that for a second, because I still want to see, I don't know about you, like you've got Tyson against Dillian White. I want to see Anthony Joshua against Deontay Wilder. Even if he loses against Usyk, I want to see Anthony Joshua against Deontay Wilder. I want to see them all fight each other. Joe Joyce in that mix. I want to see them all fight each other. There's some great fights made in the heavyweight division. Tyson against Dillian, Joe against Dillian White against, rematch against Anthony Joshua. There's so many great fights to be made in the heavyweight division. One of those fights I don't want to see, though, is Dillian White is Derek Chisora against Deontay Wilder. I definitely don't want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I think those comments were kind of blown out of proportion a bit. I think the question was asked to Eddie Hearn about Wilder, and then he's obviously answered it and said that he did like the fight for Derek Chisora, and then it's kind of spiraled from there.
Yeah, I don't like that fight.
I mean, Derek, you wouldn't back against Derek in a fight like that, but I suppose...
Derek could take the fight. If the money's right, Derek's taking the fight. Derek will fight anyone if the money's right. You know what he's like. But I'm saying, like, for Derek, at 38 years old, who's been in a lot of hard fights, keep him away from Deontay Wilder. Because, listen, Derek would cause Deontay Wilder problems until Deontay Wilder's right hand lands. And it will land. And nobody wants to see the results of what happens when that right hand lands with Deontay Wilder. I want to see Derek Chisora against Areola. Eddie was talking about Areola against Dillian. That's a great fight for Dillian White. Or Kovnatsky. For Derek. Somebody like that. They're great fights for Derek. Derek's got a few good nights left in him. Give him those type of fights. Those fights that he's going to go out there and probably win. I think he'd stop Areola. I think he'd stop Kovnatsky as well.
What is your... Just going back to this situation with Tyson Fury and... Can you hear this?
Yeah, yeah. I have the same thing as well. Don't worry.
Can you... I've lost my train of thought here. The situation regarding Dillian White and Tyson Fury. I mean, I know it's a little bit of old news now, but the initial kind of split, what was your thoughts on that? I mean, the 80-20 split.
It's a hard one, Coogan, because from my point of view, it's, and the way I've always understood it, it's about your purses, like your last few purses. And I think the WBC have like taken that into consideration. But I don't know, like, because it's, who was Dillian's last fight? Was it against Povetkin?
Yes.
So you can't really judge him off that last purse, because a lot of Dillian's fights, his last two fights have been behind closed doors, in my opinion. So like, they're never going to generate as much money as his fights would have generated if he boxed at the O2 Arena. But it sounds harsh. It does sound harsh. But I don't know, like, because Tyson's a superstar, isn't he? So it's a hard one. But maybe it is a bit harsh. Maybe it should have been 70-30.
It's the only sport, isn't it, where people are like that concerned over spinning versus for boxers. I mean, it's should be having more, not just Dillian in general, but I'm just talking about, in people are so concerned about people's purses.
You've got to be, remember as well, like when Eddie says, "Oh, he's taking to consider the amount of time Dillian's been mandatory for that title." Well, it kind of got messed up, didn't it? Because when he got beat by Povetkin, it kind of knocked him off, took him out the queue again. He's only been mandatory really for some months, hasn't he? Like, it wasn't like before. But realistically, Dillian White should have got a world heavyweight title shot ages ago. Do you know what I mean? Like ages and ages ago, Dillian should have got a world title shot. So he deserves it, and I want to see that fight for the build up purposes, for the build up for the fight. I want to see that fight. It's a great fight for British boxing.
Zach, okay, yeah. So talking about Anthony Joshua, there obviously wide speculation for the last 6 weeks or so, 7 weeks ago, that you know, he will no longer be working, especially for the Usyk rematch with Rob McCracken. Very unclear, because no official statements come out. We've seen kind of snippets and from what Joshua said, and also him spending that time with various trainers in, well, America and Dubai as well.
Yeah.
So what is your kind of assessment of what's been going on with Joshua regarding his trainer?
I don't know. It's a hard one for me to really comment on, because like, after that fight, yeah, every time I see Joshua, like, his entourage gets bigger every single time I see AJ. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got the main guys that have always been there, Freddie, KD, and Will, that they're all there. But the entourage just gets bigger, and he's got so many people in his corner. Rob McCracken's a great trainer. Do you know what I mean? Like, a proven, great, he's done wonders with the GB setup. Great, great system. But like, you've got Rob McCracken in there. You've got others in there. I just think he needs one trainer, one voice. That's it. He doesn't need like, oh, let's bring in somebody else. Let's like, just choose your trainer, whoever's best, whoever you think's best for you. But like, and do that. But like, my problem is like, whoever, I don't know, I don't want to, it's hard for me to like say this, but like, I'm not a trainer. You're not a trainer. Yeah. But if you were advising Anthony Joshua in that fight, Coogan, as like a non-trainer, just from an outside looking in, would you tell him to stand off and box Usyk? No chance. You're not winning the fight. You're just not winning the fight. If you stand off and try and box the boxer, you've got to lean on him. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to take big chances and use your attributes, your size and your strength and your power, and try and get him out of there. Standing off and boxing him was an insane idea. So whether it was AJ that decided that, Rob, whoever decided that was a good idea, it was way off.
Is it a mistake, do you think, for Joshua, if he does part ways with McCracken? Is that a mistake?
It depends, because AJ's like, it's kind of strange, isn't it, with AJ? Like, one minute he's working with somebody, the next minute you're hearing he's going with bloody, what's his name, Eddie Reynoso. Then you hear rumours, Mikey, Robert Garcia. It's hard. I mean, it's a hard one because it's like, has he had enough time to change his? Listen, one thing's for certain is, if Rob McCracken were looking after AJ now, Rob McCracken's going to change that. Everything's going to be different, isn't it? It's going to be like, listen, go for him. Do you know what I mean? Whether he's going to have enough time to change his, like, adapt to this fight, I don't know whether a trainer's going to have enough time to implement his ideas in that space of time is the answer. If that kind of made sense, I don't know. But were changes needed? Yes, I do think changes were needed. And I think going to somewhere like Big Bear would be good for AJ. Away from everybody, go there, forget the Lucozade adverts and the Hugo Boss adverts and all that kind of stuff. Go there, and because this fight really is it's massive for AJ. And I know it's massive up here for AJ as well, because if he loses, like, he took this defeat hard, you can tell. During the interviews he's been doing, you can feel it's affected him mentally, like it's annoyed him. And the one thing about AJ is he never makes excuses, and I respect him so much for that. He's never once, you know, when some of them fighters, oh no, this is wrong, my back was hurting. AJ's never said that. He's just like, listen, I'm fucking sick of losing. So I respect AJ massively as a fighter, as a man, really respect him. But if I was advising AJ, I'd be like, listen, go and take your camp and go and do it in the mountains. Go and go train in Big Bear. I really would. Go away from everything.
Are you talking about a change of scenery?
Yeah, change of scenery. He needs a change of scenery. That's what I honestly think. I think he needs a complete change of scenery. Have a small team that he trusts around him. KD, Freddie, like, but not your bag carrier, your mouth guard carrier, your Lucozade bottle carrier, your suit holder, and your back slappers all saying, well done after you make a mistake in the ring. Oh, everything's good. Everything's good, Josh. Everything's good. Get rid of all those people, because they're no good. Just keep the people, keep a small group, a small core team. I don't believe in big, massive entourages.
It's interesting to see what happens, because if that fight is going to happen in April and we're kind of in the middle of Jan now, we're talking about, what, 3 months possibly?
Coogan, if I was advising Anthony Joshua, I wouldn't even take the Usyk fight. I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. I would just say, listen, let him fight Tyson Fury and sign a contract and you fight the winner. I personally think that's better business. But AJ, fair play. You can see what he's thinking. He's thinking, listen, I want to get my revenge, and that's the man he is. Fair play. But if I was advising him personally, I'd be like, leave that well alone. Styles make fights in boxing. Usyk's got a style that's a pain in the ass for everybody. It really is. It's a pain in the ass for everybody. Have your super fight with Tyson Fury afterwards, because I believe Tyson Fury would beat Usyk pretty handily as well.
It's interesting to see. But I think as kind of this month draws out, by the end of the month, I think a lot of these situations we're talking about, possible fights, they're going to be nailed in, aren't they? The Dillian White Tyson Fury situation, that's going to be resolved hopefully very shortly, and then yeah. I suppose this is all a knock-on effect for AJ, Usyk, etc. So
yeah, it's mad times, isn't it, in boxing? You've got, nobody wants to fight Ergovic. He's another one. He's a problem in the heavyweight division.
Yoka does, apparently. So.
Listen, that fight won't happen. I don't believe that fight will happen for a second. Yoka's took that fight. He's agreed to fight Martin Bacoli. He's got to fight Martin Bacoli. He signed a contract to fight Martin Bacoli. He's done that because he knows full well that, oh, everyone else has ducked him, so I'm going to say yes, I'm going to fight him. He's got no intention. I'd be staggered if that fight happens.
A part of me believes what you're saying there. I mean, when
I'm telling you, I can see straight through that situation. Yoka will not. Listen, if he does, fair play, Tony. Well done. But I don't believe for one single second that fight happens. I believe he's took that fight for clout purposes. He said publicly, "Oh, I'll take that fight." It's like, say, for example, I don't know, I'm just, for example, like Joe would fight Ergovic, but say, like, if Joe's got a signed agreement, I'm using Joe for an example, and he's got an agreement of, like, a signed contract to say, I'm going to fight whoever. oh no, I'll fight Ern, which you can't, you can't just break contracts like that. I don't think, if long story short, I don't believe, I think Yoka has literally just seen that situation and thought, you know what? Joe Parker's effectively turned the fight down. Who else has turned the fight down?
Luis Ortiz.
He was never going to, Luis Ortiz being the bogeyman division is a myth. I was trying to get that fight for Joe to fight. They don't return, they don't want to fight Joe. Luis Ortiz is 130 years old. He doesn't want to fight, he doesn't want to fight someone like Joe Joyce or Hergovich because he'd get badly hurt, to be honest with you. So Yoka's looked at that situation for, oh, everyone's turning down. I could get a bit of profile here. I'll fight Ergovic. You've got no intention of fighting Ergovic, mate. No intention of fighting. That's my honest opinion. He's got to fight Martin Bacoli. And that's a hard fight as well for him.
Yeah, that is a hard fight. 100%. With your old mate, Billy Nelson.
Yeah, listen, one thing about Billy, he's an annoying fucker. But he's always, he backs his guy. He thinks his guy would literally beat everybody in the heavyweight division. Fair play. And listen, and fair play to him. They're going to go to, hopefully get their opportunity and go to France and fight Tony Erkin. Listen, Billy's going to have his moment, isn't he? Like he's always said that Bacoli weren't at the races, like mentally for the Michael Hunter fight. So he's going to have his big moment, isn't he, in France? And who's saying he won't win? I think he's got a huge chance of winning that fight. I thought Yoka didn't look anyway. I've not really been impressed with Yoka as a professional.
Okay. One more thing I want to ask you about. I don't know where this quote came from, but there was something I read about Jake Paul, about his next opponent, about the boxing purists not liking it, whoever his next opponent is.
Canelo. That was a quote from someone from that was close to Canelo, wasn't it? Saying that Canelo's next fight, the boxing purists won't like.
Canelo's next fight. Sorry.
Sam,
let me just re-ask that because that's what I actually meant and I've just worded it wrong.
Yeah, cool.
Right. One more thing before I do let you go, Sam. Canelo. Yeah, I think there's a quote going about his next opponent is someone that the boxing purists won't like. What do you make of this?
All roads lead to Jake Paul. I don't know, Coogan, if I'm honest, mate. Unless it's an exhibition, surely there's got to be a contract to say Canelo can't hit him, like, in certain areas of the body, because I'm saying this, like, that fight's like dangerous for Jake Paul's health if that actually happens. Like, I actually think that
reference to Jake Paul,
it could be like you just don't know in this crazy sport, do you? Like you Marius Bradis is getting a flipping tattoo of Jake Paul on his leg to try and get the scrap, isn't he? So he's obviously lost his mind trying to get the big payday. Payday. but yeah, if Canelo takes that fight, if that fight happened, there'd have to be a contract in place saying Canelo can't. It'd have to be exhibition vibes because I would worry. And I mean this. So people say, "Oh, I would worry for his health, Jake Paul. Like he'd be permanently injured, and nobody wants to listen. As much as Jake Paul irritates anyone, no one wants to see no one get permanently injured. But Canelo could permanently damage Jake Paul if that fight happened.
So if it's not Jake Paul, or that's not in any reference to Jake Paul, then who
would it be in reference to? You never know, do you? It could be Conor McGregor. Who knows? You just don't know, do you? Like,
you believe it's someone definitely outside of who he potentially should be?
It depends, because what do you mean the boxing purists won't like? Like, any Canelo fight, a boxing purist likes, because Canelo's got everything, hasn't he? He's the world's best at the moment. Like, he's got everything. He can fight, he can box, he can do everything. So I don't know where they're coming with that. I want to see Canelo against Charlo or Beterbiev. They're great fights. Charlo can cause Canelo real problems, you know, in that fight. But
I like the
Beterbiev fight, but yeah. Jake Paul, he can just keep doing Jake Paul things, can't he? Like, I've got no problem with Jake Paul. I think he's an amazing promoter. think he rubs people up the wrong way, which I do think quite, it's quite funny sometimes. Tell you what I'd like to see Jake Paul. I want to see Jake Paul against Tony Bellew. I want to see Jake Paul against Tony Bellew. That's what I want to see. And I want to see Tony Bellew be announced as Pretty Ricky Conlon.
Okay, so yeah, just a little bit of a catch up there. Loads going on. As soon as this month kind of fizzles out from the start of February, a lot of things going on and a lot of stuff happening for ProBellum as well.
Yeah, listen, lots of stuff. Some announcements coming very, very soon for ProBellum. Hopefully, you're going to have a great year of boxing, aren't we? Some big fights happening. Hopefully, the big fights this year really do happen. Crawford against Spence. Let's see that fight. I want to see that fight.
Dave Allen against Chris Lovejoy.
Dave Allen. No, we want to see Dave Allen against Babich. And we want to see Johnny Fisher against Christopher Lovejoy.
One Christopher Lovejoy.
One Christopher Lovejoy. Johnny Fisher would knock Christopher Lovejoy out within 30 seconds. Like, I promise you that. Like
he sold most of the tickets for Ali Pally himself, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, listen, I remember when I rang Eddie genuinely to say, oh, yeah, I've got this heavyweight. He's like, oh. Like, you could see he was not interested at all. Had to, like, kind of twist his arm to say, listen, no, take a chance on him. He can definitely fight. I saw the potential with Johnny Fisher, and it's all coming into fruition now. And listen, Eddie and Matchroom have got a tremendous young heavyweight with Johnny, and he's an attraction, isn't he? He's a serious attraction, isn't he, now, Johnny?
Absolutely, making a lot of noise
and shout out. Listen, and Lerone Richards as well. Like, little give a mention to him. Like, literally one of the best fighters in the world, Lerone Richards. Technically gifted. He could win titles at super middleweight, light heavyweight. The world's his oyster. Beat Gongora, somebody who nobody wanted to fight. Gongora, nobody wanted to fight Gongora, and Lerone beat him in first gear, dusted him in first gear, no problems. So I think the world's Lerone's oyster, and I think he's going to go on to win a world title, definitely.
Okay. Well, Sam Jones, appreciate your time this Monday evening.
Is it Monday? I don't even know. It was Monday.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be catching up, hopefully in person next time once
we're
back out and about, which we will be shortly. And have you got anything else you'd like to add, mate?
No, absolutely not. Thank you for speaking to me. I'm a little... speak to you soon.
Sam Jones, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV, and we'll definitely catch you again soon.
Nice one, Coogan.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.